This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Follow the money.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome in. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Pauly Howard. We are live downtown Vegas. Circa Resort and Casino is the spot. And today we have a three-hour banger lined up. So much to get into. Reacting more to college football, especially that SMU-Florida State result from last night. Some people who do power ratings are not going to rate the Michigan game as a win for the Wolverines.
Oh, yeah.
That's incredible. A big update on the Rams and 49ers game on Thursday. An Aaron Donald update coming up in about 15 minutes. Andy Gresh on the program has lived in Boston for long time. And he will talk to us about the Patriots Seahawks. Todd Furman on the show in 90 minutes. Derek Stevens as well. Plus, Pauly, we have some serious action right now at the U.S. Open. You talked about this match yesterday, how Tiafoe made too much sense. You wanted to pull a George Costanza and go Mickelson.
Yeah.
He leads. He won the first set 7-5. He leads now in the second set 5-3 on serve 40-15. And he is a huge favorite to win this thing outright
this
now.
This is double set point, too. So this is incredible that the kid from Laguna Hills, God's country, right? That he's never made it this far. And all of a sudden he's like, well, you know what? I got a little confidence here playing well. And
sure.
Yeah, right. And this is, if he can go to the semis, and this is the furthest he's ever made it, and then to without losing a set, and then potentially either meet Shelton, so we're guaranteed an American in the final, or you get Alcaraz. This is nuts what's happening here. And I can't imagine what he was on a future. By the way, you mentioned his name. Shout out to Neg from Manhattan. He's been with us since day one, goes back to the duffel bag boy days. He's from Manhattan. This is for you.
He went to the game?
Yeah, yeah. We got the Costanza bobblehead from the game last week eating a calzone. There you go, buddy.
He waited in line to get that?
Got that. He knows people, he said.
Okay, I was going to say, because JJ came on the show, and he's like, this is the line for this game tonight.
Oh, it was crazy.
It's so nuts. And he's like, why don't they guarantee, like, every fan who goes to the game is going to get a Costanza bobblehead,
though? Yeah.
He brought in two of them.
Yeah.
From that's amazing.
Concrete Jungle and Poker Player. And he's signing up for Circa Survivor, Dead 5, and he's going to put the Raiders on one of them. Look at that. That's excellent. The Seinfeld Costanza Calzone bobblehead. Thank you.
Mickelson just won the second set, by the way, 6-3.
God.
Is there any way?
I bet the over. I mean, it's as well. So this is.
What was the number?
39.5. He's minus 1,000. Tiafoe's 7-1. Let me see the updated total.
Here's a question.
My God.
Is it worth a flyer to bet Tiafoe to come back and win right now? Or is our producer, Luke, huge tennis fan, told us before the show, bet it to go five sets if you want to get a little nuts. Because that way, Tiafoe can make a run here, but then you don't have to sweat about, like, if he does that and wins sets 3 and 4, you don't have to, your bet doesn't have to have him win that outright, obviously.
Yeah. All of a sudden he dropped to 5-1 now, too. That's a price. 33.5 is the total for the games.
That's the live updated number.
Yes.
Oh, that's going to go over. Tiafoe's going to win the third set.
Think so?
That's me saying that based on nothing other than I think and I hope that he makes a run here to make it interesting.
It's the menu's incredible.
Oh, the live tennis stuff is nuts.
God. The swings, live betting, the Sabalenka match. Noskov, she was 9-1 after she dropped the first set and was down love 30 in the first game of the set. And then she comes all the way back and leads 4-2 in the third set.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sabalenka became a big dog. The swings on every point and how the total moves and the spread moves every single point, it's incredible.
You know, friend of the show, Adam Chernoff, when I first noticed him on Twitter many, many years ago, he was doing write-ups, these like really elaborate write-ups on the NFL games, handicapping them individually. And I had never met Adam in my entire life. I just thought, wow, this is really good content. And the guy's obviously very good at breaking this stuff down. And he was going back and forth with people on X, and basically they asked him, because he's lived in South America a lot, somebody asked him like what he would prefer to do if he could do anything in the world. Like, would he be an odds maker or bookmaker in Las Vegas? Would he be he said, I would trade tennis. And I think we've asked him about that on the air before. about that comment. Because the handle, like, globally speaking,
I can see why it's so big.
It's insane, yeah.
It's crazy.
Right, right.
You can make a new bet every point.
Sure you can.
Every point, every match, every bad serve, every time the serve's broken, it's bananas.
Okay, so what do we do with SMU and Florida State moving forward after that game last night? This is a hell of a tweet from OptiStats after the game is over with. SMU, think about this for a second. SMU is the only FBS or NFL team in the last 30 years to have negative three or worse turnover margin, twice as many penalties as their opponent, fewer rushing yards than their opponent, lower time of possession, more missed field goals, and yet win the game. How many times did they try to give that game away last night? Six, seven, eight, ten?
Well, as Lashley pointed out, they did it before. They were minus six against Duke a couple years ago and won the game.
That's right.
So the fact that it's happened six times, like in the last 30 years, and SMU's done it two of the six, is nuts. It's actually a minus four. You don't want to count the pitchy pitch woo-woo at the end, where it resulted in the only Florida State turnover on the final play of the game. I asked McMurphy, what if it's 35-10 SMU? What does that mean for Norvell? This was worse. I mean, you're minus four in a turnover differential, and you win the game? And they got whatever they wanted offensively. Jennings with a couple poor decisions. But they have some dudes. And they have some players on that team. And Pittman's good. And Jennings, when he makes good decisions, file that away as well. I think it was Dave Pasch on the game. That was a great line about how it's going to be different this year. He had a bad ankle and refused to run. Yeah. His rushing prop opened 7.5 yards.
Wow.
How easy was that? You could have laddered that sucker to the moon.
Well, that's also the thing. Now that Florida State has two games in the bag here this year, The you have to bet the opposing quarterback passing yards over like every game.
Yeah.
This has been defense. Way too easy.
But look at his rushing yards every game moving forward, too. But it's a doable schedule coming up. They have that big matchup at Louisville. I don't know if two losses are going to get him in. Probably have to only have one loss. Going to be hard to get a couple out of the ACC to be a playoff team. But they have talent. They have a good coach. They have a talented quarterback. And it looks like Norvell's in a lot of trouble because there's more losses coming for Florida State.
Oh, they have plenty on that schedule.
And I'm glad they got the game in. I thought Jimbo Fisher with the hyperbole, dial it down. You can't play this game. No communication in the headset. Oh, my God. What are they going to do? It's like, come on. You got to play the game. And I'm glad they got it in after the hour and a half delay. But SMU tried to give it away. That's also a bad landing spot, too. Two and a half, three. Falls three. Right? Horrible landing spot.
Yeah, a lot of
finish.
Could get cited like that. Tyler Shoemaker, the 2T Shoe Index here at VSiN.com, he's been tweeting out like his actual score-adjusted results from the games in college football. Started this with week zero, and his score last night, despite SMU, I mean, having so many, it was crazy what they were trying to do and give that game away, but they led in every other like major category. His final score actually was 37-20. That's a much more realistic score than what we actually had last night with 27-24.
Yeah.
37-20 is way closer to the way that game, how it should have played out, and what actually probably would have happened if they played that game 10 times overall. What a world we're living in still today in college football. It's getting worse for LSU.
Yes.
Right?
They're going to kick them out of the conference if they want to.
It feels unlikely that that's going to happen, but that's where we're at right now with the SEC now suing LSU.
If LSU doesn't back down, they have the power to kick them out.
That's right.
And then Western Michigan and the MAC want the win.
Yep, now they want the win.
I like it.
And they're not going to accept. I don't know. I kind of buy into what people said because Western Michigan was so classy after the game and the people out there who were like, well, yeah, that's because their coaches want to be in the Big Ten at one point. The MAC conference wants to play these Big Ten games, and then the Big Ten is on NBC, and NBC now paid all this money to have the Big Ten contract, so they're not going to say anything bad about it. I can kind of buy into that a little bit. Mm-hmm. But now that they've had, you know, the smoke has settled a little bit, they want that game to be reversed. And Jeff Sagarin, I know this has been discussed quite a bit probably nationally already, he obviously has shared his power ratings, college football, college basketball, for many, many years, USA Today. He is grading that game as a win for Western Michigan, and he now dropped Michigan and ranks them at 0-1 on the year, 36th overall in the country. What do you think about that?
I like it. I have no problem.
Is that the way everybody should do it?
Yes. Yes. With shenanigans and what they did. Michigan fan was out of their mind to say, coming back and say, oh, there was a second left. They got it right. No, they didn't. And when you just see the rules analyst losing his mind while the game's going on. That's another thing. Thanks to the email, too, by the way, from a Michigan diehard, trying to compare it to App State, which I think he can do that. In 2007, when they were 33-point favorites and lost, they also came back the next game and lost at home.
Yeah, because everybody was saying, well, don't overreact. They're going to be fine. They played Oregon, I think, was the team.
Yeah.
Right, and Oregon was okay that year. I think they were 8-4, and Oregon absolutely killed them. I think it was 39-7 or something like that.
Right.
So that's kind of what the whole discussion is this week going into the Oklahoma game. Don't overreact.
Well, there's a lot of things going on. It's still like they have the letdown scenario where you storm the field and you stole one. Everyone's going crazy. Mm-hmm. So I have to come down from that high. Then Winningham gets out there and he's like, well, Underwood's got to play a lot better. He's the number one quarterback for now. So if you look that bad and score on your opening possession and then get held in check by a middle-of-the-road MAC team, as I said yesterday, you think Venables will have something dialed up and ready to go and dare that kid to throw the ball?
Mm-hmm.
So I want to see what Todd Furman says later in the show. He's been doing this a long time as well, about how this usually plays out, where it's just, of course, Oklahoma's going to win. Michigan is a bad product right now and can't move the ball, but it looks too easy. But what happens?
Right. And as I brought up yesterday on the show, how do we know that this is too big of an adjustment?
That's right.
What maybe the game of the year number on the look ahead should have been Oklahoma 3 or higher than that.
Maybe, and
the
market
inefficient to begin the year. The market was just wrong on it. And we could look back at this game in November and say Oklahoma was laying 6. That number should have been 14, and the writing was on the wall.
They might be a 4-win team. You're right.
Yep. We have an Aaron Donald update. Is he playing on Thursday for the Rams? We'll give you that answer. And you're going to hear an incredible answer overall on how coaches are preparing to play this game in Australia next. So here is the update on Aaron Donald, who announced that he is coming out of retirement to join the LA Rams this year. Adam Schefter tweeted this not that long ago. He will not travel to Australia for the opener against the 49ers. He obviously is going to be inactive. The Rams want to give Donald more time to ramp up before making his much-anticipated return after 2 seasons of being retired. His next chance to play will come in nearly 2 weeks when the Rams return home and they get the Giants on Monday Night Football. So he is not going to be playing here at Circa. Rams are laying 3.5. That's -120. So that's trending towards 4. South Point on the screen, they're at 4. And I believe they've been at 4 now for at least a full day.
Didn't he play this beautifully? It's like, I'll come back. I'll wait. Then I'll announce it. But it's still too late, so I don't have to go to Australia. Right? Yep. It's like Harrison Smith, what he did. All right, I'll come back now for the Vikings. I'll play.
Right.
After camp. Well,
but hold on, though. He's an NFL player. Maybe he's traveled the world. I don't know. Wouldn't you want a free trip to Australia?
Yeah, sure.
Hang out?
I don't know. Yeah. Disappointing.
So here's exactly how this is going to go down now. A good tweet from Joe Pampolino. The Rams travel schedule. Practicing this morning, leaving for Melbourne tonight. Wednesday, lost day traveling. Land in Melbourne Thursday morning. Play at 10:35 a.m. local time on Friday. Fly back to the U.S. immediately after, land in L.A. midday Friday. That means the Rams will spend more than 30 hours on an airplane, travel more than 15,000 miles, cross 7 time zones, and play a football game, yet technically be back in L.A. less than 72 hours after leaving.
Okay, now, hold on. The Rams can still win, and this could be a bad decision. So, I like what Mike Florio said today. We won't know who made the right call till after week 2's game.
I would say week 4.
You think so?
I want to give it more time
than
that.
Okay, that's fair. Because what if the Rams win the game, and then they come back and lay a stinker against the Giants? Or same thing with the 49ers. Hey, great job. You beat the Super Bowl, everyone's hype preseason pick to win the Super Bowl, and now you come out and you lay an egg in week 2, whatever. So as much as it comes down to, well, whoever wins the game Thursday will tell the story of who made the right decision. I think you're right. You want to go that far, fine. But let's look at what happens in the game after to decide who got this right. And then from a body clock, you know, fresh standpoint, all this stuff taking care of the body, what that looks like after the week 2 and week 3 game. Niners shouldn't have a problem. They play the Dolphins and then Cardinals. But, you know, the Rams come back and then you get the Giants, and they have a brutal schedule in their first five games.
Exactly right. This is something I've been saying basically since they announced the schedule and the game was going to be played in Australia. I said my piece yesterday about the Roger Goodell extension for commissioner. I hate it. All he's doing is just making more money for billionaire owners, and they're expanding by playing more overseas games. This is completely forced and unnecessary. And my whole thing for, I don't know, the summertime now here on this show has been, what's it going to look like after this game when they come back? And maybe it's nothing, but maybe it's, again, we're talking about the Michigan-Oklahoma game. What are we saying about that game in November? What are we saying about the Rams and 49ers by Halloween? Are players talking about, I got to tell you, can't get over that trip to Australia. It's really impacting us this year. Is that going to be a thing? Bill Ady wrote about it today in the VSiN Daily. He wrote, the more I looked into this, the more he wondered whether we were talking about the wrong game. What happens when they come home? And then he looked at the week 2 schedule. Niners are laying 10.5 against the Dolphins, and that Giants game against the Rams is 8.5 in that spot. Absolutely, that could be a big deal. Might be nothing, might be big. Don't know.
Yep. You ready to go to work? Puka rushing attempt? Shaheed rushing attempt? Shaheed over rushing yards? You ready to attack all this?
Well, do they have the rushing attempt already up for Puka? Because do they give him one with his offseason and how injury-prone he's been?
Well, not only do they give it to him, we usually give it to him right away.
I know. They might give it to him a couple times.
Yeah, right. And the Myers prop is already up, too. Over 1.5, minus 140 at Caesars. Made field goals. Second most last year on the season.
Now, are you going to bet that, or are you going to wait?
I got to wait.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But the figures, you might have, number one, for how the Super Bowl played out. Number two, you have a new coordinator. Number three, you have a conservative coach. So he's also money at home, and he was a money kicker last year as well. It had went over his prop in most of the games. So maybe $1.40 is a pretty good price for Myers.
Hey, Luke, can we fire up the Shanahan on game planning for this? Yeah, I thought this was hilarious, talking about trying to game plan for this whole scenario.
When I look at my clock and it says the time, and then I try to see my family's time, and it says the time, but it says yesterday. I don't even get how that's possible. So I feel like I'm in the future. And then also when we play on our Friday, which I think is a Thursday in the U.S., we're such creatures of habit. So I call today Tuesday. I call today Wednesday, which is the first day we put in a game plan. But I think it's Monday. However, though, it's Sunday in the present. So, I'm going to mess that up all week if you guys ask me. But today is just our first day of the game plan, which is a Wednesday. We'll put in some on a Thursday. Friday's the final part of the game plan. Saturday, we walk through when we play on Sunday, which is a Friday in Australia and a Thursday in the U.S. So don't ever make me do that again.
Yeah! The media goes crazy. That's excellent. I'm glad he shaved the mustache, too.
It's a bad look.
Good job. Yeah. That was awesome. Mm. That's right.
What an answer. He's spot on with that.
Yeah.
So, but the total has come down a little bit now. Circa was at 49. They're at 48 around those key numbers. Is that the play to make? If you can still find a 49 out there or a 48.5, all those numbers are key. 47, 48, 49 in that range.
I think you put them on the moon. The Rams will move the ball on them. Yeah, and based on what they did last year and the trip to San Francisco as well, there were injuries, but that was men against boys. Yeah, they toyed with them. Now you're healthy and you got Bosa ready to go. But I just think this team is too good offensively. McVay's too good. And in both games last year, they had no problems moving it on them. So I can't get there with the what I do like is 49ers' longest made field goal. One thing you can bank on, Australia, USA, Pakistan, is Pinheiro. And that guy has got a huge leg, and he's automatic as well. What a weapon he is. And they really did a good job bringing in thicker kicker and how well he kicked for him down the stretch. But from a come out there from 55, don't sweat it, also a conservative coach, I have no problems laying $1.10, 49ers' longest made field goal.
Hey, you never know who's listening. Don't bring up ideas like Pakistan, because that Goodell might actually expand to there coming up next year. What if the 49ers win? Other than, I don't want to hear about the travel.
Well, it's panic time.
You know, is it uh-oh.
Yeah, people will freak out.
People are going to be, and because then you have to consider, if it doesn't go well, Rams lose the game, they come back, their schedule is far from easy out of the gates after that. I mean, the first 5 weeks of this slate, Giants in week 2, at Philly, check that, at Denver, at Philly, back home to the Bills. Those are all losable games, or at least teams that are, they're power rated highly, playoff teams, and with, high expectations again this year.
I asked Adam Chernoff, who wins more games, Niners or Seahawks? He said Niners. He thinks Seattle's going to miss Kubiak big time. How many games wins this division? That's another thing.
Well, that's trying to figure out the ceiling on the Rams then, and if all goes well. Because their ceiling, if they stay healthy, their ceiling is like a 14-win team.
That's right. But you don't panic if you lose, because it's a team that made the playoffs and was playing for the one seed in Week 18. They have a ton of talent, and they're a good team. And it's also a rival. And Shanahan has done well against McVay. So, don't go crazy if you lose. The media will, because there's dopes out there saying they can go undefeated. But let's also see what it looks like, too. Does the offense look lousy? The defense have issues? Whatever. But to me, it's just scary that you go to the NFC title game, you're right there with Seattle in both meetings, and then you add all this on defense in multiple Defensive Player of the Year award winners. It's scary to me.
Let me throw another game at you. We had some serious line movement. Uh-huh. Not that you're going to do a two-team teaser here at Circa because it's $1.40, but they're sitting now Chargers -8.5 against the Cardinals. That's a move from 10.5 below 10 and now into teaser territory.
Yeah.
8.5 down below 3 on a two-team six-pointer. 8.5 now for the Chargers. And all you're hearing about the entire last 4 months has been Chargers and Survivor. Cardinals are one of the worst teams in the league.
Yep.
They're going to be awful. They're going to be maybe a 2-3-4-win team. And yet that's a two-point move in and around key numbers.
Yep.
How about that?
I'm shocked by that. I just think this is going to be a total sieve on defense all season like they were last year. Meanwhile, Jacksonville's up to 8.5. The Cowboys are up to 3. Mm-hmm. Seattle's down to 3.
Down to 3 now.
How about
now?
That? We all watched the Super Bowl last year. The champs are at home opening up. They're down to 3. And the Bears are up to 3, and there's more movement on the Steelers at home as well. So now it's getting real now. This is excellent. NFL Weekly on the Sharps turns each week's NFL slate into a sports prediction tournament. Everyone starts with the same chips. Picks from the same slate lands on one public leaderboard. You can see exactly where you stack up. Enter at jointhesharps.com. Scan the QR code on the screen. Use code VSIN50 for a 50% deposit bonus up to $100. Jointhesharps.com. Promo code VSIN50. Excellent website. Easy to use. Go all in or be conservative. Jointhesharps.com.
Who do you think wins more games, Niners or Seahawks?
I'm going to say Seattle. I think they can overcome the Kubiak loss. And I just think it's bad, just bad juju for what's going on with San Francisco in the offseason.
We'll talk to Andy Gresh from Boston up next. Neutral field Super Bowl, Seattle 4.5. Now at home in the rematch, they're 3. Okay. So the Seahawks in a Super Bowl rematch, the lid lifter tomorrow night. They've been sitting there all summer long as a 4.5-point favorite. Now down to 3 with some juice. They clubbed them upside the head last year in the big game.
Embarrassing.
And now they're at home, first week of the season, and the money here is on the Patriots. It kind of reminds me of the Seahawks-Broncos Super Bowl rematch from like 10 years ago. Total annihilation. Seahawks led that game 17-3 in the rematch. Right away in the regular season that year, Broncos scored 17 points in the fourth quarter to force overtime. Seahawks eventually covered, but it was not easy. And right now, more on the game tomorrow night. We go out to the Progressive guest line. Andy Gresh joins the program now. You can follow him on X. He's at The Real Gresh, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Andy, good to talk to you today. How are you?
I am good, gentlemen. Everybody in New England is, they're done clutching the pearls. Now that Christian Gonzalez has his money now.
How big of a story was that? Was there ever a chance that he was not going to play?
It drove me nuts, Mitch, quite honestly, because at the end of the day, the guy was still under contract already for 2 years. So he could pull the Logan Mankins, but I don't think Christian Gonzalez is made that way. And I mean that with all due respect. This isn't the guy who was going to hold out. Like, Mankins got upset at Belichick and was like, fine, I'll go sit on my self-sustaining farm for 10 weeks and show up and stick it right back to you. And then they still found a way to do business together. This thing was really a lot of media people and a lot of fans reacting to the opening of the window. not, hey, here was the deadline of the game. The great Andrew Brand is famous for saying deadline spur action. This was just another one of those where people were really overreacting. Honestly, guys, because he's under contract. He wants his $18 million next year. He's got to show up this year. And he wasn't going to screw up $100 million by being petulant for a couple of weeks.
Okay, so then the game again kicking off in a little bit more than 24 hours. And I'm looking at the screen right now. Seahawks, as I mentioned in the lead in here, down to 3 with some juice, obviously. Minus 120 here at Circa, $1.18, some other spots. What do you make of this movement here on the game?
Honestly, I think it's consistent with what has happened with Seattle all offseason. And guys, we create content all the time. You guys are great at talking football. But let's be real. Have the Seattle Seahawks been talked about like they are the defending world champions? I mean, if it were the Rams coming off a Super Bowl, people be shrieking naked across the quad because it's the Rams. Mm-hmm. But because it's Seattle and they're not sexy and they, you know, Sam, you're waiting for the other shoe to drop with Sam Darnold. I feel like there's a lot of disrespect out there for Seattle. And guys, maybe this is just consistent with what we haven't heard in the week or so leading up into this game, which is not why we get to see the world champs. People are kind of like holding their nose a little bit and being like, oh, this game again? And Seattle, it just, they're not sexy. So I think people are discrediting them, and now we're finally seeing it in the betting market.
Good points. I said most disrespected champ since the 0-1 Patriots a couple weeks ago on the show. Is this a better team? I love what they did at wide receiver and got May new toys. What do you think? That may not show it in the record because the schedule's difficult, but I think it's a better team. You agree?
Paulie, I know on VSiN.com I read the stat of the 54 teams since 1998 who've jumped 6 or more wins, and then what happens the next year? Most of them regress. But from 14, you go to, say, 11, which is right in the regression area. And if you look at the schedule, there's a couple of toss-up games in there for New England that I think they can definitely win. So when you look at it, at the end of the day, if they slide down to 11-6, Paulie, I'm with you. They could be 11-6, but be a better playoff football team. And let me jump into something here with these running backs, right? Sure. We don't know what's going on with Henderson, but last year, guys, if you look at the stacked boxes that Henderson and Stevenson had to run against, I think I saw the numbers where they were 4th and 5th in the NFL. So the Patriots had 2 guys in the top 10 around the goal line with the stacked box. Well, now what's going to happen with a guy who can win one-on-one in Romeo Doubs and a guy you got to fear in A.J. Brown? Now New England can almost flip the script a little bit, guys. They can go with a 6 offensive lineman if they want to, or they can put both tight ends in the game and go back to the fullback. Yeah. Let's remember, Josh McDaniels has a fullback now. And in the year that Randy Moss in 2007 showed up and was unbelievable for New England, it was Keith Evans and Kyle Echol who got like 4 or 5 cheapo rushing touchdowns being a fullback. So don't discount that in the Josh McDaniels offense. And I think just having A.J. Brown on the field, guys, should make them more efficient in the run game. That's why you see Stevenson at plus 110 tomorrow night for a touchdown.
Very good.
Okay. By the way, who would that player be at fullback? Is it Reggie Gilliam? Would he be the guy as like an anytime touchdown scorer or first touchdown scorer?
Good question. It would be Gilliam who would be the true fullback. If they have, you know, whether it's Raritan or another tight end in there, then, you know, they're trying to funny business it around a little bit. But I think if you see fullback and Lomu in the game at the same time with those 2 wide receivers, boy, it'd be real interesting to kind of see how defenses will end up treating New England along the way this year, because right now they have Hunter Henry. They're waiting for tight end 2 to really show up. And it may end up being Gilliam as the fullback kind of mixed in a little bit, because we know McDaniels is comfortable with running an offense like that and getting it to the fullback around the goal line in different ways.
All right, you're a total pro. I'm glad you brought that up. So Father Time's undefeated. I'm reading that this kid out of Notre Dame, the tight end, is getting more reps in practice. They have big plans for him. There's a big article in the Boston Globe about him. Mitch has a big ticket anytime touchdown. Can this guy make a difference from the get-go, Raridan, the 3rd-round pick out of Notre Dame?
You know what, Paulie? I don't think there'll be gross volume there unless Hunter Henry gets hurt. However, if you look at the way the tight ends are used, and I kind of joked around about Caleb Lomu as a sixth offensive lineman, but when you think about what they did with Mike Vrabel back in the day, if you have Caleb Lomu doing some of that stuff and you're mixing it up a little bit because you decide to start to really mess around with defenses with these wide receivers, there are multiple tight ends who can eat. And I think Raritan's one of them. You know what it is, Paulie? To me, it's the he'll get two catches for 7 yards and a touchdown in a game, right? Or he'll get one catch for 5 yards and it's on a big third down, and then it'll start to incrementally come along. But yeah, I think a lot like the fullback, you can look at tight end number two in New England and think that they could end up getting some red zone opportunities and sharking a touchdown for you.
Yeah, that would be amazing. Yeah, he's available around 13-1, Raritan, for an anytime touchdown. Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Andy Gresh, our guest, Mad Dog Sports Radio on X at The Real Gresh. Also, now this is on the move a little bit, but you can still find Drake May's passing yards at like 229.5. I get it. It's the Seattle's, you know, the Seahawks defense. They also lost some guys there. Still going to be one of the best units in football. Don't we think like the path here for the Patriots over like 229 for that dude who almost won the, doesn't it seem very manageable for him to go over that number?
Yeah, Mitch, I'm on the over with Drake May in terms of passing yards tomorrow night. And look, the teams that went into Seattle, right? I think that's a big caveat because you got to deal with the noise. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be whooped up. They're going to be raising the banner. You know, you're going to have to deal with all that emotion. But the two teams that went into Seattle last year and had success was Tampa, where Baker Mayfield played out of his mind, and L.A. Now, that game in the end with L.A., it got cattywampus and they ended up losing, but they threw for like 450 yards. And I think Tampa was like 357. So, yeah, even if New England comes up short, Mitch, I think it's got to be a Drake May day. And look, if the run game is sputtering a little bit for whatever reason, I think Josh McDaniels now knows that he can put it on Drake May a little bit more. I'm not comparing May to Brady, but just in terms of the situation, Bill Belichick talked about in year one, we weren't winning because of Brady. In year two, he was figuring it out. In year three, we started to win because of him. And then by that fourth year, they were winning because of him. Well, this is year three for Drake May. So that evolution to the next step has to start. And it might start tomorrow night in a really difficult environment against a good football team. And look, I think New England is definitely playing into privately the whole nobody's talking about us card. Hey, they're not getting respect, but we're not getting respect either. Vrabel's going to try to play all the mind games that he can, but I just don't know physically if New England can hold up against this version of Seattle this early in the year.
Okay, like 30 seconds then. You have a best bet on the game would be what overall?
My best bet on the game would be Drake May on the over. Okay. And Ramondre, I think Ramondre Stevenson at plus 650 ends up getting that first touchdown. I think Vrabel wants to, yes, they can throw it, but send the message that around the goal line, it's going to be a little different this year because they got wide receivers you got to worry about.
Great breakdown. Follow him on X at The Real Gresh, and you can listen to him as well on Mad Dog Sports Radio. Thanks, Andy. We appreciate that. Enjoy the game tomorrow night.
Anytime, gents, anytime. I put a suit on in my house, babe. It's
like looking, I'm going to looking court. Sharp. Looking sharp.
Yeah.
Andy Gresh here on Follow the Money. Joined us on the Progressive Guest Line. Tiafo in a world of hurt. Win some, lose some up next. And player prop projections are now available at VSiN.com for week one. We'll give you some of their biggest edges coming up.
Win Some, Lose Some is sponsored by The Sharp Plays.
Were you a winner last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Molly Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
Mayo, two bombs, 80-1. And listener Chris Melvin was at the game and he had it. How about that? Where'd you get two from? And you asked his kids who's going to go deep, they said Mayo. It was fantastic as the Orioles get the win and Mayo hits two bombs and 80-1 ticket comes
How about
in.
That? So we asked the kids. They give him that answer. So we said, okay, I'm going to bet Alonso and why not bet two on Mayo?
Yes.
That's why he did it.
Yep.
An 80-1 pops in his airline.
Come on. Favorites 8-3. A's plus 180.
Boy.
C struggles against them.
He had nothing last night.
Big win. Yep. Tough loss for the Blue Jays. Subscribe, be part of the team. VSiN.com, our radio and podcast friends. You always want to see these tweets and videos at @PaulieDasVegas on Instagram. Send them in. We'll put you on. Let's go to the Commanders game. That's what they're going to be serving this year. Crab stuffed pretzel, $24.99. Crab dip, garlic butter, Parmesan cheese. Oh, yeah.
I would devour that thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
It has no chance. I'm talking whole thing, and I'm talking, give me 5 minutes.
It's good. Yep. Couple lose some videos. Again, we're living in a society. Animals out there. Boy, oh boy. This guy, okay, bad for the books first. I'll get this out of the way. SMU, tough landing spot. Won exactly by three. Two and a half, three. Three and a half, two. Two and a half, three. Falls three. After that game last night. So Ian Fitzsimmons sent one in at ESPN, and he got the other guy here. This guy is, you have 0202? This guy is like a businessman. Got the suit and tie on. You got him, Luke? Here we go. Look at this guy. Getting ready, suit and tie, ready to go to work. And for whatever reason, I'm at the airport. I'm just going to take my shoes and socks off. What, of all things? I don't understand it. And it's just, it's baffling every time, whether it's at the airport or on the plane or what, or at a poker room or here at the Circa Sportsbook.
What goes on?
Let's get barefoot. Like, come on.
What goes on in the brain of a human being when they're about to make this decision in public?
No kidding. See, he's all dressed up, right? Flying for business. And then I'm just going to get on the laptop and then take my shoes and socks off in front of everybody. Worst, though, is if you do it on the plane, which happens over and over again.
I'm going to assume this person has done it on the plane because he's doing it right there at the gate.
Yeah. And I don't know what Ian was expecting, but Ian tweeted this out, too, about, hey, I'm on the plane here. And thoughts? I mean, he's got it up against the wall, got the laptop out, and it's just, I mean, it's just a fiasco. Total abomination. I have no words.
Yep.
And it's just, you see this stuff week after week after week, and people are like, I need an explanation. Well, you're not going to get one, because it's just, it's sick human behavior is what it is on a regular occurrence. One vicious push while we were on the air. Diamondbacks Royals total was 9. No score in the 10th. 5-4 Arizona. Give me a break. Vicious. Football season's here. Sharp money already moving. They track every line before the public ever sees it. Exclusive data feeds from the four major books. Thousands of sharp bettors and pro syndicates filtered and sorted by their AI model. And every play's logged, every result public. Records back to 2011. Get his NFL and college futures. No steam chasing, no stale trends, no recycled plays. Jeff and the crew have been with us since day one. Follow the money and the sharp money at sharpplays.com.
All right. You want to update this tennis match?
Mickelson is minus 3,000 in play. He's up 2-0. He's serving to go up 5-3 in the third. Did he hold on?
They're at deuce.
Advantage.
Yeah,
okay.
He's at advantage
now. If he won. All right, it's 5-3. My God, he's 5,000.
He trailed, by the way, 40-0 here.
Are you serious?
Tiafoe just gave him that point.
This is nuts. So if he finishes the job and he wins one more game, he'll be the first American since Andy Roddick in 2004 to make the semis of a major without dropping a set. He's not even ranked.
It's astonishing. Honestly, so what was, this was not a big betting number, right? Tiafoe was $1.50?
Yes.
Favorite? Okay.
Yes.
This, honestly, watching this match now live on the air, it looks like, and they were a much bigger dog, it looks like the UMass game against Rutgers last week. They were a much bigger dog again, but they were clearly the better team. Clearly. And Mickelson here is clearly better today than Tiafoe.
Isn't this something?
And he's ranked in the 40s. Tiafoe's number 11.
Right. This is why we love sports. He never made a quarterfinal of a major.
And now he hasn't dropped a set.
And now, right. And now he's going to go to the semis without dropping a set. And he awaits the winner of tonight's showdown with Shelton and Alcaraz. Imagine he beats Alcaraz and he goes to the finals.
Well, I mean.
Or if he just Shelton, it's just American against American. And then likely to take on Zverev in the final. mean, I can't believe it. He's 7,000 now in play.
I'm watching right now. Tiafoe is just mentally shot.
Yeah.
He's hitting stuff into the crowd and directly into the net. He has no... Wow. Folding right now in
front of
us.
Behind him.
Yep.
Made two semifinal appearances, two times in the last 4 years at the U.S. Open. He got his big rooting section, and no one knows who this kid is. And he's just got there, here we go. I'm playing well, a lot of confidence. We'll give it a shot, see what happens, and here he is.
All right. So with football beginning tomorrow night in the NFL, if you're just joining the show, the network, like today, this week, and you haven't heard us talk about this throughout like the baseball season or at the back end of the NBA season last year, the Opta AI projections are available when you become a VSiN Pro subscriber at VSiN.com/subscribe. Always a great way to look at a handicap when you're going to be betting these player props, and they're becoming more popular every single year. I'll give you some of their biggest edges based on numbers that are available, because they're not all out right now for like every single player in all these categories for week one. But, Paulie, their number one edge, again, for numbers that are out right now, Cam Ward under 208.5 yards passing. They are projecting 151 against the Jets. 151. Mm-hmm. Under right now is minus 112. Their number makes it more than minus 1,000. It's a 38% edge right now to bet Cam Ward under. Look, it's a 58-yard difference right now.
Oh.
Between their numbers and what's available at DK.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers, number two. His prop on the board is 213.5. They are projecting around 168.
Really?
Yeah, and per their numbers, that is a 30% edge.
All right. What do you think this is going to look like? I just think it's going to be the same stuff, right? Shotgun. Dump it off to the running back, short stuff. He's got plenty of weapons. I love the acquisition of Pittman. Occasional deep shot to DK Metcalf.
Mm-hmm.
They bonded over conspiracy theories in the offseason. Good for you guys.
Oh, yeah. Rodgers has conspiracy theories?
Right.
Oh,
so
okay.
You have that bond. So he added another piece, another weapon. But I would think the guy can roll out of bed and still throw for 230.
Well, let me see here.
And I don't think that there'll be a big focus on the rushing attack. Then again, Tua might just keep turning it over, and it's a blowout in the second half, too.
Here are Rodgers' games last year. The playoff game against the Texans, he threw for 146.
Wow, that was, yeah.
So he had 203 against Seattle.
Are you worried about no preseason and coming in cold?
Yeah, he had 139 against the Patriots, 200 against Minnesota, 219 against Green Bay, 203 against the Colts, 161, 116, 117. I mean, it is peppered with games below 200 yards last year because it was so much of the dink and dunk variety.
Yeah.
And then he needs his guys to
take
off and do something with the yak.
Right. Like once a quarter, it'll be a deep shot along the sideline to Metcalf. Other than that, it's Charlie checkdown.
They also are big on the under for Caleb Williams.
They're
projecting 182 yards passing out of him.
Now, a big blow here. You might not have a Dunze, and that's huge. But this line's up to 3 in some spots.
And the total's all the way up to 47.5 now, too.
I know. I can't agree with that one.
They're basically with the quarterback props on almost all unders for their best value plays. Trevor Lawrence, 28% edge to the under. Kirk Cousins, his number is 216.5. Does he throw for 220 against the Dolphins?
Well, who is ahead? Who has the edge?
That's right.
Is the offense or the defense? I think it's year to year. You never know. Some people say a lot of unders. Offense isn't in rhythm. Quarterbacks are going to struggle. No preseason. Game reps.
I can buy into the Cousins under for sure, based on how bad this Dolphins roster is. Because I would think with Kubiak week one, they get a lead here. Aren't we going to Genty again banged up? But you can go to the rookie as well, Washington. You can use multiple backs here, give them carries. And I don't think, I mean, that's kind of a big number for Cousins. I think 217 he's got to get to. Not so sure about that.
Well, Bowers might have 12 catches, though. I mean, what a luxury that is. There's just no, you just feed him.
I'm trying to find an over that they have. As of right now, I don't. Oh, there's one. Drake May. Drake May's an overplay. 9% edge.
You playing the rushing yards?
For Drake?
24.5. Start off with that.
Kind of high.
Yeah.
Kind of high. Up next, NFL plays we're each considering for contests in week one of the NFL. I'm currently at 7 games. That list needs to be cut down to 5. That's coming up on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.